3 minutes past 1, I'm here, Barry's here.
Hello.
Jambo's here.
Hello.
How are you, Jambo? Did you enjoy that? You're back in the hot seat.
Yeah, back for one day only.
Yeah, what did you think of the show?
I thought it was all right, yeah, rocked along.
Out of 10?
I'd give it a good 7.5.
Okay. What about you, Barry?
I got 8.
8. There were some real high points today. The best bit of which is it's Barry's birthday. Obviously today, if you're listening on like a Monday, it's not anymore. But I gave Barry, you gave you a birthday present, didn't I?
You did.
What did I give you?
You gave me a very heavy framed Monty Panesar shirt, which had a photograph of Monty and a fellow TalkSport presenter in the bottom right hand corner. I'm guessing it was a very thoughtless gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and you also gave me a carrot cake in a box with no candles.
I didn't know if you could put candles in a studio. Anyway, look, here the fun moment when Barry didn't know who Andy Jacobs was and who he thought he, and the other best bits of the show, here they are. Alex Smith writes, happy birthday, Barry. Jason says, a happy birthday from Limerick. Dennis says, happy birthday, big fella. This is, I don't want to make it I don't want to indulge you here, Barry.
That's great.
Some people quite like you
here. Thank you all for the nice wishes.
You are listening to the world's biggest sports radio station. It is Talk Sport. I'm Max Rushton. Alongside me, The Guardian's Barry Glendenning, 44 years old today. Barry, your greatest achievement?
God, I'd have to think about that for a very, very long time.
Just an achievement.
I'm still alive, I suppose. It's probably the best one. I noticed some police on the way into work today, looking particularly young.
Oh, that's sad when a policeman, that's a sign, isn't it? When they can't grow a beard, you're like, you can't be exercising the law with your wispy, your wispy whiskers.
I felt really old actually last night. Me and a mate went to the cinema. We were very rock and roll for a Saturday night, and we were walking home down Clapham High Street, and the queues of young, beautiful people.
Yeah.
You know, outside various watering establishments, which I used to frequent many years ago.
When I see
people... But I tend not to walk down Clapham High Street at 11:30 on a Saturday night anymore. And, it was quite staggering.
When I see people queuing up for somewhere at 11:30 on a Saturday night, you just know when you're old, they're not going to enjoy it when they're in there. They're not going to get what they want when they're in there.
Yeah.
If they do get anything when they're in there, they're going to regret it in the morning. Really, you don't need to queue, and it's going to be much hotter and louder than you think.
And once, if you do actually get in after standing in the cold for, an hour, then you have to queue again to get a drink.
And if you're at home, you can just get it from the fridge and go to the loo when you like. Yeah. What are you doing going out?
But you have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, you do. Right, here's the agenda for today's show. If you've never heard the show before, welcome along.
It's two old men... complaining about young people.
And we're pretty much the two youngest presenters on TalkSport. Yeah. So look, if you listen to this radio station, then you're probably in that bracket. Yeah.
Are we turning into the two mice?
not yet, but there's time. All right, we have a 10-point agenda for the show. If we achieve it, well done us. If we don't, it doesn't matter because nothing in life really matters. You just get old, Barry.
Yep.
And then you just pass this mortal coil. But we might as well do some talking while we're here. Point one, I give Barry a birthday present.
Oof.
Point two, Max and Barry's Premier League and FA Cup review is here. Point three, we'll find out what Alan McAnally is wearing. Get today's odds. Point four, former Spurs and Millwall player Clive Allen will preview the FA Cup quarterfinal between those two. We find, interestingly, I saw an amazing goal that Clive Allen scored for QPR. I tweeted it a couple of times. I'm going to show it to you when he's on. It's better than Messi. I'll tell you that. Extraordinary. Point five, we find out if an Ipswich One Club man has more tellies than David O'Leary. I'm going to say no. Point six, it's getting to the business end of the Culverhouse season today. It's me versus Barry. Point seven, guess the attendance. Morehouse is in. Point eight, we raise our game for the Ben Shepherd 3 minutes. Point nine, we speak to our Liverpool correspondent ahead of their game with Burnley in the Premier League today. The 10th point does not exist anymore. I'm still not allowed to tell you about it. A few notes on your birthday, Barry. Noel says, wow, 44, is that all? Paul says, Barry, we'll have a good weekend as Sunderland haven't lost this weekend.
True.
Yes, they haven't played either, but that
matter. Seems to be their best way of staying up, by just not playing games, because then you don't lose, which is nice.
Here's a text, says, happy birthday, you're still a smug lefty, and then I can't read that word afterwards, but it was rude, but thanks
very
much.
That's fair enough,
The one that, this is Tony Cascarino's idea, but we like building a football team of players, and since it's Barry's birthday and Cass wished him a happy birthday, building a team of footballers who've wished you a happy birthday. We're not including Twitter here, because that, you know, if someone tweets, it doesn't matter. We need to your face or a card. I've got a few here. That was nice. Carl says, got a birthday note from Matt Letitia on the back of a golf scorecard when my dad played golf with him. Alistair says, former Kilmarnock left-back Dylan Kerr while he was DJing in my local pub. JH says, Bobby Charlton, Wembley 66 World Cup final in the tunnel. Do you believe him?
No.
Oh. Well, I think we'll take it. What about this one?
I've just got a birthday tweet from Kate Partridge.
Oh, really?
Who appears to be Moscow.
Okay. Thanks for that, Barry. Emmett says, Iniesta wished me a happy birthday after I passed the ball to him against Holland in the World Cup final. Wasn't even my birthday. And Alex says, I once sent Peter and Love a letter explaining why he was my favourite baller, and I received a signed birthday card in return. Could you bring the present for Barry in, please, Chamber? Could you bring it's just there, just around the back. I bought you a cake as well.
Are you serious?
Yeah, here it is.
I genuinely think it's in a box.
Yeah, it's a cake. There's a cake.
You could have taken it out of the box, stuck a few candles in it.
No, I bought you a carrot cake because I thought you'd hate that. I thought you wouldn't want fruit on a cake. Yeah, there's your birthday present. It's a massive thing. Do you want to show it to the people on live on Facebook?
Oh, it's heavy.
Thanks to Israel, it says, it would be good if you turned in the two mics. It'd be a lot funnier. there
so
it is.
You've got me a massive, really heavy... square.
Yeah, it's
wrapped in brown paper.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna open it here. Hold on. Get this out of the way. This must make for riveting listening to the people in Radioland.
Okay, what have you got there? What have I given you, Barry?
You have given me a signed cricket shirt.
Yeah, by?
By Monty Panesar.
I have, yes. A signed, massive framed Monty Panesar shirt.
Which I have to carry home.
Well,
it weighs about 6 stone.
You don't have to. I just, look, I found it and I thought of you.
Why? I mean, I'm really grateful. It's the only present I've got.
Okay.
A cake in a box with no candles.
Yeah.
And a signed Monty Panesar framed cricket shirt.
Yeah.
Not an England shirt.
No. A chance to shine shirt.
Chance to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of Monty and Mahatma Gandhi. Is it? Who's he with?
He's with Andy Jacobs. I love the fact you think he looks like... He's the white Mahatma Gandhi. The white Mahatma Gandhi. So listen.
So I'm guessing you found this in a corner of the office. Was it already wrapped?
No, what happened was I was at a charity cricket match that Andy couldn't make. So he said, I'll give you a signed Monty Panesar shirt. And we did the whole raffle and I won it. And I picked it up off Andy yesterday. It was in my car. And I thought, I don't want this. So you've got it. Even better, you can wrap it after the show and we can give it back to Andy when he gets in the office tomorrow. And
say, I'm not bringing it off.
I love that. Who's that? Mahatma Gandhi. Can you play that to Andy tomorrow, please? Oh, look, this is the warm-up on TalkSport. It's Max Rushton, Barry Glendening. This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Barry Glendening here until one. David says, if Barry doesn't make clips of the week, is that Mahatma Gandhi? I don't know what will. We're building a birthday, 11. Footballers that have wished you happy birthday, not on Twitter. It's Barry's birthday today. This is from Ben, the Spurs fan in Fareham. Former left-back Clive Wilson wished me a happy birthday after he upended me during a Spurs Legends five-a-side tournament. Super Clive Wilson.
So would it actually have been that chap's birthday, or is that something people say? You
on
know?
A pitch?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, son, after you've two-footed them. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that on the pitch, but possible. Tim says, George Best wished me a happy birthday on my 21st by writing on some Euro 96 first day issue stamps. So we put Best on the left. This is good as well. From David, says Milan Baroš was on the next table at my 30th. He sang along and clapped at the happy birthday. Oof. So currently, look, we've got Letizia in the hole with Peter and Love up sure. top. George Best on the right. Milan Baroš. Well, Baroš will play right. Best left.
This is a good team.
Bobby Charlton in the midfield with Clive Wilson left back. So we need some centre backs and a goalkeeper really, and then we've sorted that bit of the show. Quicker we get it done. Quicker we can go home, Barry.
Well, that's not actually true.
It's time for this.
Max and Barry's Premier League review on TalkSport.
Let's look back at some of the FA Cup quarterfinal and the Premier League games. Philip Nutter writes, I hate this debate. Liverpool say Gerrard, United say Scholes, both class acts. It's opinion end of the day. Why the need to pick? I'm not sure how he's gleaned that from any part of this show, but thanks for getting in touch anyway. Do you want to start with the FA Cup, Barry? The magic of the cup? Arsenal 5, Lincoln City 0.
Oh, wasn't that just magical?
Well, do you know what? I don't know if it's a sign of the malaise of Arsenal, but I found myself wanting them to win.
What, out of pity?
I don't know what... You know before a game you normally support the underdog if you're a neutral.
Yes.
And then you sit down, you start watching a game, and then just subconsciously you start supporting one of the teams. And, when Nathan Arnold went through and Petr Cech saved it, I obviously wanted Lincoln to score, but then a part of me was like, I just really love Arsene Wenger to be successful now. To just win every game for the rest of the season. I suggested on Twitter that at full time he should get a massive A1 piece of paper and sign his 2-year contract there on the pitch just to see what the reaction would be.
Well, while you were having that little existential crisis, mm-hmm. I was noticing, do you think Nathan Arnold looked a little bit like John Richardson that used to do the Saturday warm?
No, not at all.
Well, that's what I gleaned from his post-match interview.
My other notes. Do you think we should just book Granit Xhaka before the game starts?
Because it's in the post anyway.
Yeah. just book him, then the ref doesn't have to watch what he's doing.
Is he getting that... See,
getting that tag that he doesn't deserve?
Well, no. Do you remember Paul Scholes? Everyone, you know, he'd go in with the bone-crunching two-footer. Mm-hmm. He can't tackle. You know, sort of just generally accepted. Nah, I can't tackle. It's okay.
But then everyone has to say,
Granit Xhaka
is the same. You can't take that out of his game, you know, because that would change him.
Well, maybe you could teach him to tackle.
Possibly. Apart from that, just a lot of love for Matt Reed. I know we've mentioned it before. Good player. Always a fan of a player who isn't incredibly skinny. Everything about him just screams glorious lower league target man to me, and I love that.
I don't know if you heard, I'm just going to recycle some material from Football Weekly, mm-hmm. the Guardian podcast I do, but...
Are you going to or not?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just completely... I had a mind freeze there. Lincoln City, they went into the game against Arsenal, and their plan was to treat it as, I think it was 9 10-minute yeah. matches.
I'd heard you say that, and I was watching it in 10-minute increments
and
because of that.
Trained accordingly, you know, to get the player's mindset right. And I just thought, well, if they'd taken it a little bit further mm-hmm. and treated it as 91-minute matches,
because right.
you've a better chance of surely keeping a clean sheet in a 1-minute game
yeah.
than you have of keeping one in a 10-minute game. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. So that's... The difficulty is, you know, at some point, after every 10 minutes, the skipper could be like, right, at a break and play, all right, lads, still 0-0, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
To do that every minute would, A, after about 5 minutes, it would lose its impetus, I think.
Yeah, it would get very annoying.
Mm.
But congratulations to Lincoln. I think, but people were getting really tired of the FA Cup and it was getting a lot of negative press. And they've helped revitalise it a bit.
One more question I've written. Barry, how long would you last in the ring with Steve Bold?
Steve Bold?
Because he looks tough.
I wouldn't last a round, I'd imagine.
Okay. Try and make that happen.
I presume we would actually be boxing.
Yeah.
And not just
sitting there.
Sitting there chatting or...
Yeah, you'd be boxing.
No, not long.
Middlesbrough 0, Manchester City 2. It's nice to see Brad Guzan, obviously, because you don't ever see him and then he plays in golf for Middlesbrough in the Cup. Should have been 126-1 to Manchester City.
Do you think... I'm genuinely concerned that Middlesbrough are never going to score again.
Ever?
Okay. They are so toothless. It's incredible. But...
In a way, I wouldn't... I think, eventually that would be quite a good trivia bit in about 50 years' time.
And if they did never score again?
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is that if they never conceded, it would be all right because, this mythical 40 points you need to stay in the Premier League. Actually, you need 37 points. That's really the amount you need to stay in the Premier League. If you look at the stats, some people have got... West Ham went down with 42 once, but generally... If you get 37,
right,
you'll stay up. So Middlesbrough could stay up with a point to spare if they got goalless draws all the way through the season, which would be a thing of utter beauty.
I believe that any team that doesn't get 40 points should be relegated, and if that means relegating six or seven teams, then
and what just bring
off
up witchy, bring and, up all the teams that go in the playoffs
and bring up.
I quite like that idea. Leroy Sané. Paul Merson now calls him Bacon because...
Bacon Sané.
Bacon Sané.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you happy with that? He was quite proud when he told me in the office.
Merce Ponnery.
Yeah.
Well, Merce isn't renowned for his Ponnery.
But he is for his Cockney slang.
Bacon, yeah. You can call him Bacon if you want. Okay.
Into the Premier League, which was actually much more exciting. The Bournemouth-West Ham game was excellent. And good to see right at the start of the game, Charlie Daniels getting caught right in the Fagoulis.
I missed that, I'm afraid.
I've waited for a long time for that. Oh, did you see Mikel Antonio's dance when he put West Ham
yes.
up? Because I have a bone to pick with you, which is...
With me?
We went to the pub last week to watch Spurs-Everton, didn't we?
Yes.
Harry Kane scored that goal and they did the celebration with Dele Alli.
Yes.
Now, I was listening to your podcast and you said on the podcast that I really loved that celebration. And I have no recollection of even mentioning it when we were in the pub.
Maybe that's because you were out of your mind on alcohol.
Yeah, but you said that I totally loved it. You invented the fact that...
No, you did comment on it.
Did I?
I think you did.
Did I like it? I don't think I liked it.
I'm pretty sure you liked it.
I'm 37 years old.
This is the very long, convoluted and carefully choreographed and obviously rehearsed handshake between the pair.
Mm.
I thought you liked it.
Michael Gray says, Steve Agrizovich once wished me a happy birthday at Creamfields during the Chemical Brothers Saturday night headline sets. I really hope Steve Agrizovich was there. Andy says, Dirk Kuyt wished me a happy birthday on a night out in Liverpool in a tequila bar going about 7 years ago. And Nicola says, oh my God, Barry is younger than me. We've ruined her day, definitely.
Sorry, Nicola.
Josh King, right? I always forget. He got a hat trick, did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Completely forget that Josh King is Norwegian.
Yeah, well, he...
And I presumed he was born in Croydon and just had like a Norwegian grandmother, but he was born in Oslo.
Yes.
So I wondered if maybe Josh should insert a middle name to make us know that he's Norwegian.
Josh Oivind.
Yes, Josh Andre King, or even Josh Vi King.
Is that a Merce?
No, come on. Just
Josh Vi.
Vi.
Josh Vi King.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Just say it again.
Josh Vi King.
Say it again.
Josh Vi King.
Say it quickly.
Josh Vi King.
No.
Josh Viking.
Yeah, well, just take out the Josh, say the word.
Viking. Oh, right. Christ.
Well done, Hull City as well. Marco Silva.
Oh, hold on. Back it up there a bit.
Yeah.
He's missed... Bournemouth won that game despite missing two penalties, which is quite an achievement.
It is, yes.
Josh King, whose penalty do you think was worse?
Well, Afobe did hit the target, but it had no chance of going in. No, because the keeper goes the wrong other way. Afobe, they just say a great penalty from Afobe. Sent the keeper.
I don't think so. I think if the keeper had gone the other way, he'd still have saved it with his feet.
He'd have got up.
Yeah, he'd got up and gone back the right way.
But they were both poor. On Hull, Swansea, Marco Silva was born on the 12th of July 1977. All right, so he's more than 2 years older than me. Not one grey hair. I'm putting it out there that Silva dyes his hair so that it isn't Silva.
But I don't have grey hair. And I'm 7 years older than you.
Everton 3, West Brom 0. There was a highlight on Match of the Day where basically Nasser Chadli sort of went through and Gareth Barry ushered it back to the keeper. And you thought, if that is the highlight they've picked from West Brom, they have done literally nothing in this game. West Brom have a habit of sort of being safe and then just relaxing.
Yes.
That's what they're in there. They're on the beach.
Well, they relaxed against Crystal Palace in the previous game. And I thought, well, look, they'll at least be up for that because, you know, Pulis had all that expensive unpleasantness with Crystal Palace in the courts. So he would have presumably wanted to help send them down. But his team just didn't turn up at all.
Greg says, happy birthday, Barry. You share a birthday with my wife. She may be wondering why I'm watching you live on Facebook and not attending to her birthday lunch.
Happy birthday, Greg's wife.
This is the keep going, Baz. You're in Clips of the Week again, Vikings. Good morning, you are listening to the warm-up on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Barry Glendening here until one. Barry's 44th birthday today. If you're just tuning in, you missed a wonderful moment where Barry saw a photo of Andy Jacobs and thought he was Mahatma Gandhi sitting alongside Monty Panesar. I've given Barry for his birthday a signed Monty Panesar framed shirt that Andy Jacobs gave me yesterday.
Yeah, it's really heavy.
Why don't you wrap it and give it back, leave it here for Andy tomorrow? Hawksman Jacobs, of course. Best show on TalkSport on tomorrow at 1 in the afternoon.
Tweet here from Michael Smith. Happy birthday, Barry. You share a birthday with Liza Minnelli and Jack Kerouac.
Oh.
Esteemed company.
It's very cultured, isn't it?
I also share a birthday with the internet.
Oh, well done. We are building a team of footballers who wish you a happy birthday face-to-face or with a card. Igrizovic in goal, who wished someone a happy birthday while watching the Chemical Brothers at Greenfields.
Do we believe that?
Yeah, Pascal Segan, who got his wires crossed and sent a sympathy card to someone. Centre-back with Clive Wilson on the left. We've got Best, Charlton and Barros in the midfield. Letitier just behind Peter and Love. Rule Fox and Dale Gordon on the bench, which is harsh because we need another midfielder. But
just go back to the Pascal Segan thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wishing, you know, sympathising with some. Is that a thing? Like, if someone dies,
get
a famous person to send a condolence card? Is that really a thing?
If I was in need of condoling, would I need a card from Pascal Segan? I mean, maybe it's just specific to him.
I don't know.
What are you trying to think of?
A Frank Stapleton condolence card help you through your grief.
Maybe it would. Do you want to play Guess the Attendance?
Always.
I know. Let's say hello to our competitors today. Barry Glendening, hello.
Hello.
Justin Morehouse, hello.
Good morning.
Now, Justin, obviously we've brought this early. Justin, has that affected your preparation? It's been moved for TV reasons.
That's why I gave it a cheery good morning, sports fans. Because we normally play in the afternoon.
Yeah, we do. I mean, these early kickoffs, sometimes, you know, the players aren't ready, the fans aren't ready. It can be a letdown.
I've been training in the mornings.
Oh, I see.
How do you train, Justin? I'm just curious to know your methods because I'm struggling
to get to bed. Matrix. You know, Matrix, and there's those banks of numbers that just scroll past.
Yeah.
As I kind of look at that all day, just looking at numbers, just like absorbing them.
You're just watching Bloomberg, aren't you? And that helps you. All right, well, let's crack in, crack on with it. Guess the Attendance, best of five. I've got no idea who's winning in the series, but every time it's exciting. Let's start in League Two, gentlemen. Carlisle United 0, Cambridge United 3. Alito, hat-trick for him. We'd missed three penalties in a row. We scored two yesterday. Robert Jones reffed it. Carlisle now down to fifth in League Two. Cambridge still sniffing around for the playoffs. But how many people were there? A long trip for the Hughes fans. Carlisle United, Cambridge United. Justin.
3,434.
Barry.
2,680.
4,427. It's 1-1 to Justin. Okay, let's go into the...
I keep falling behind.
The Premier League, Hull City versus Swansea. Very hard when you concede the first goal to win in guess the attendance.
Yeah, Hull because he just shuts up shop.
Doesn't he? Parks the bus. Yeah. Doesn't he? Barry, Hull versus Swansea at the KCOM.
I will go with... I saw this on Match of the Day. There were a lot of empty seats.
Did you count all the people there?
I shouldn't have said that because Justin might not have known that. I will go 19,500.
Justin.
22,195.
It's one all. What a
close. That one.
That's a delayed reaction. What are you calling? Are you calling a foul?
No, you know what? We play a man's game. You know, I don't talk about it. He knows what he did. I know what we did.
What did I do?
Hey, listen, that can be in the debrief afterwards. Norwich versus Blackburn, Carrow Road. It's affected both players before a 2-2 draw. Norwich's first game without Alex Neil in charge. Cameron Jerome, a brace. Lucas Juau, I don't know how to pronounce that, a brace for Blackburn. Justin.
I don't know what Norwich are getting these days, but 20,400.
Oh, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than that.
Oh, it was.
26,000. Yeah, 26,000.
26,224. 2-1. Justin, you need this. Let's go to Bristol Rovers. 2-0 win over Southend. Everyone's favourite referee, Trevor Kettle. He reffed it. Did that affect the attendance? It would make me want to go a bit more. But how many people were there? Bristol Rovers, Southend. Barry.
I will go 15,000. No, 12,200.
Oh, come on!
That is dirty play. That is filthy. What did you say in the end?
12,200.
Justin?
12,199.
Oh, filth.
9,274. It's 2-2. This is an absolute classic. Let's go into the Scottish Premiership. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 2. A real test.
No!
I know. I don't pick the attendances. It's just how it comes out of the fixture computer. Let's go to you first, Justin. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 2. That means Ross County are 2, 4, 6, 9th in the Premiership.
8,000.
Okay. Barry.
7,999.
3,380. Yes! That is the filthiest game you've both played. You have both brought guess the attendance into disrepute. You should be ashamed of yourselves. 8,1089. Well, that's the game, isn't it? You've got to play the conditions.
Game's the same. It's just got more fierce.
Great win.
I've got Max. I've got absolutely no complaints.
Oh, really? What, you just...
No complaints.
Apart from that, you accused me of cheating.
Or, no, well, I did not accuse you of
you
cheating.
You certainly insinuated I might have been cheating. I didn't cheat.
Mate, that might be your guilty conscience, because there was no insinuation on my part.
This sounds like a Vieira Keane tunnel bust-up to me.
Yeah, I'll see you out there, Morose. I'll see you out there.
We'll be back in a minute.
I'm cheating in this scenario.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to The Warm-Up on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Barry Glenn here till 1. Text from Anonymous. Barry, have you had a prostate examination? I don't know why they've asked. You are 44. Good to check those things. And good.
Should I check them right now?
We are live on Facebook now, so perhaps not. But it's important for men to talk about these things
in
an open way. So maybe we can do that. We can do an outside broadcast, Barry. From the doctors.
A live prostate.
Yeah. See how you get on with Culverhouse. Jerry says that Culver House was mercifully short. It was like a game abandoned due to fog. Bit of reaction here. Tom says, Barry takes so long to answer on Culver House, bordering on hesitation. Hashtag dirty tricks. David, bit harsh to go in so hard on Barry on his birthday. Love the commitment, though. Tony Woods, Culver House. Barry had 90% possession, but no shots on target. He can't complain about Middlesbrough now. Matt, worst Culver House ever.
Oof.
Michael, not taking Culver House seriously makes the whole thing pointless. Max Rushen should confiscate the Panesar Gandhi gift. Gene, Culver House is the most... Culver House is the most boring, pointless load of tosh on the radio. You won't explain the rules as there don't seem to be any poop. Thanks, Gene. And Grant says, typical tactical naivety from Glenn Denning. Should have started with Darren Caskey, followed it up with Boncho Gwenchev. yeah.
Paul says, a man who
knows his stuff.
A keen student of the game.
Absolutely right. Paul says, Barry laughing, either take it seriously or don't play it at all. Scott, a complete farce today, a shambles.
Yeah, I was like boolered.
You really were. I got you in the fagoolies and you had nowhere to go from there, did you? Right, let's do Footballers Are Nice. Very pleased to say today's contestant, the former Ipswich midfielder, Simon Milton. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hello, chaps. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks very much. How are you? How's your day?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, very nice. It's quite nice here in Suffolk today. So it's a bit of a change. I was expecting rain, but no, it's very nice, actually.
Oh, good man. Now, tough examination of your niceness here today, Simon. Are you nervous?
Completely.
Okay. Have you done
today
it?
Today could be the day, Simon, that you get found out. And it's the day we all fear, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'm not as nice as people think.
Okay, right. Well, listen, it is, to find out if you're nice, 332 games for Ipswich Town, 55 goals. You went on loan to Exeter and Torquay at the start of your career. You know, does part of you wish that you hadn't played those games, so you were just totally a one-club man, and you didn't have those six games? Or were they an important part of your development?
Do you know what? Massive part of my development, yeah. I didn't, but I needed it. When I joined the club at the time, you couldn't get in the first team. I think the loan system is brilliant for people who go and need to gain some experience. I went down, I played both teams in the fourth division. Torquay were near the top of the league, Exeter were near the bottom of the league. But going to play in front of 3,000 or 4,000 in the lower division, where every single point, goal, win bonus mattered to your teammates, was a massive difference from playing reserve team football. So I certainly don't regret those moves at all.
Oh, that's far too much football for this section. We'll crack on with your niceness now, Simon. Tough question to begin with. Simon Milton, 332 games for Ipswich Town. Are you nice?
Am I nice? Yeah, I like to think I'm nice.
Okay. Do you do anything nice? We've had footballers with foundations, Begovic. Who do we have last week? Lee Sharp has a foundation. We've had Mickey Quinn just asked for money, so he didn't necessarily quite get it. And
Michael Duff gives homeless people money if he's passing. Only 20p, though.
Yeah, not a full pound, not the full treasure of a pound coin. Would you do anything nice, Simon?
I do stuff nice. Look, you mentioned Lee Sharp. He cleaned my boots at Torquay. What about that?
For a
Yeah, I'm sure he remembers that. What do I do nice? The nice things I do, the main thing is I've done quite a bit for charity over the last 3 or 4 years with Prostate Cancer UK, normally in cycle rides. And not just signing up yourself, but just getting more and more people to come along and be part of it. So that's probably the nicest thing that I've done.
Okay, good for you. Well, that qualifies you to answer these 15 unrelated questions, Simon. Good luck. Simon Milton, if Barry and I were to come for dinner, what would you cook for us?
Crispy duck.
Oh. Would it be the crispy duck where you have to then do all the work yourself, rolling it in a pan?
I would build them for you, Barry.
Oh, that's fine.
Really, would you?
Oh, that is selfless.
That is really selfless.
Because I like crispy duck, I just too much effort involved.
Yeah.
If you were coming to our house for dinner, Simon, we asked, is there anything in particular you didn't want to eat? What would you say?
Seafood paella.
Okay. Yeah, I'm totally with you on
that. Is that the voice of a bad gastronomic experience or intestinal incident speaking?
Well, it just looks lovely. I don't mind prawns, but the mussels and all of that, the taste, I just can't do that type of seafood. So I always look at it and think it looks lovely, and I've tried it on a number of occasions, but just cannot stomach it.
Do you do your own laundry?
Yes.
Okay.
When did you last take public transport, Simon, like a bus or a train?
It would have been in the Tube in the last week. Tube in London last week. I live in Suffolk. There's not a lot of public transport around here.
Did you bump into Phil Neville? Apparently he got the Tube for the very first time.
No. I did see that, though, and found it absolutely amazing.
He did that step over, Phil Neville, and the whole Tube carriage just went to the left, didn't they? Simon, what's your favourite insect?
Spider.
Okay. I mean, it's strictly just for the pedants. That is an arachnid, but we accept it for this because some footballers have struggled with knowing any insects. So we really accept anything living.
Any living creature.
Yeah. Emmanuel Frimpong said antelope. It was a high point in everyone's life. Barry, your question.
Simon, do you own a onesie? And if so, do you wear it?
No. So no.
Simon, you're on. Oh, no. Simon, what's your favourite cheese?
Brie.
Answer.
You're on death row, Simon. Sorry about that. Obviously, you're innocent because you're nice, but banged up for a crime you didn't commit. 1 hour to go. Which TV show would you settle down and watch?
Billions.
Oh, it is good. Are you up to date?
Yeah.
Oh, really enjoying that. Did you watch that, Barry?
No.
Damien Lewis and Paul Giamatti.
I've seen the trailers.
It's very good performances. A good choice there. If you could only eat one fruit for the rest of time, Simon, what would it be?
Grapes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Red or black or white grapes?
Green.
Black
grapes, okay. I mean, you could probably have all types of grape. I mean, when we
haven't actually hammered out the details.
When we come to impose this on you, and you're on death row watching Billions, not eating a seafood paella, you can probably have whatever grape you like.
Simon Milton, how many toilets do you have?
Four.
Okay, sort of mid-table obscurity in the toilet league there, Simon. Not in danger of going down, but, you know, Mark Schwartz with nine. You're really going to have to get some installed in your house if you're going to win the championship this season. Do you have more televisions than David O'Leary? He once boasted to Tony Cascarino that he had 11.
Oh, my God, no.
How many?
No, four.
Oh, it's a 4-4 toilet TV drawer. good choice.
What kind of pant do you prefer, Simon? Jockeys, wide fronts, tight, loose, commando? In the Perry Groves, John Harrison
like
style?
Like a boxer short, I would say.
Okay. Airy or tight?
Tight.
Okay. I'm with you, Simon. Same. I mean,
me too.
I don't... Just to be clear, we don't all have the same pant drawer. We all dip into it. Is this Simon's turn with the blue ones today? Are you better looking than West Brom's Jonas Olsen?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Is it
tough? Bearing in mind, I can't think of him. I'd say yes, though.
Oh, sort of long-haired, Nordic god, Jonas Olsen.
Yeah, well, I'm very short-haired.
Okay.
Do you smell nicer than Michael Carrick, Simon? He's notoriously fragrant.
I like to think I always smell nice.
Is that a yes? I mean,
yes.
That's a yes, okay. Finally, Simon, are you nicer than Linvoy Primus?
Has he got his own foundation?
Oh, many.
He's got an MBE for being nice.
Listen, I'm not in that league. I'm nice, but I'm not MBE nice.
No, there is talk that Linvoy could be beatified by the Catholic Church and become a saint.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
Saint Linvoy?
Yeah.
Of Saint Linvoy of Primus?
You'd hope so.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a wonderful moment that will be. And Simon, thank you so much for taking part today.
Pleasure.
I hope you found it rewarding and enjoyable.
Absolute pleasure. Yes, it was always nice to talk to you guys.
And I know you do a lot of great work for Prostate Cancer UK, which is quite relevant given the text that you got, Barry, about your prostate examination. So, look, thank you so much, Simon. Have a great day.
Pleasure. Cheers,
top man. Former Ipswich midfielder there, Simon Milton. Jim Shelley on Twitter has sent me the video of Richard Blackwood having his prostate cancer exam live on this morning. So it's been done before, yeah.
I had wondered where Richard Blackwood had gone.
I think he's in EastEnders.
Is he? Okay. I don't watch EastEnders anymore.
That's where he is anyway.
EastEnders and getting probed on live television in the morning.
Mick in Leeds says, Harry Kuehl wished me happy birthday while I was driving him and his then-girlfriend in my taxi to a restaurant in Poole in Wharfdale. He was playing for Leeds United at the time. We'll put him out. I've lost the team currently. Find the team. We'll read out in a minute. Juliet by Lawson. We'll be chatting to their front man, Andy Brown. More importantly, for him and us, our Liverpool correspondent, in just a second. I just want to point out, Barry, a couple of things. Jordan says, honestly thought Glenn Denning was about 65. The guy's ageing like a pear. And Barman says, Ray and Barry on Logan reminded me of Joe Royal and Jonathan Pearce reviewing Universal Soldier on Channel 5 Football. On one of the screens, they've got Serie A on, Sassuolo playing Bologna, I believe. And Barry looked at that and was like, who are Bolton playing? Because it's just got B-O-L. Who are SAS? Does remind me of...
To be fair,
yeah.
I like you made me look stupid.
I obviously didn't know who
you
SAS
had
were.
No idea who SAS were.
I didn't.
And I said Sassuolo, and you still didn't know who they were.
No, that's true. Although it's not as good as when my missus was watching... Well, I was watching Norwich Middlesbrough, and I asked her who was playing. And from the three letters of both sides, she said, is it Norway versus the Midlands? Which is a game that I still want to organise. All right, let's chat to Andy Brown, our Liverpool correspondent, frontman of Lawson. Andy, how are you?
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Professionally for you, what's more important, the band and your singing career, or your unpaid role as Liverpool correspondent
for this show?
I get asked this question a lot by my other band members and stuff, and to be honest, I find it very difficult, to be fair, because I'm so passionate about football and Liverpool that I'll probably have to say Liverpool, to be fair, and being the ambassador for it.
This is kind of like a solo project, you know, but the band occasionally has to take a back seat.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, like I often get like management saying to me and stuff, you need to like stop tweeting about football all the time, because obviously I get followed by a lot of people who like Lawson and like are interested in music I'm making and stuff. But all I'm tweeting about is like, you know, our recent results and stuff like that. And, you know, it's getting bad, to be fair. But yeah, I need to sort of tone it down a little bit, maybe.
Looking at the sort of Venn diagram of Lawson fans, you know, where's the crossover with Liverpool fans and Lawson fans? Is that quite niche? There's just a small section of people who like you for both things.
It's a tough one, really, because I'd say when we first started, probably like 6-7 years ago, we were like appealing to like really young girls, like 14-15 year olds. But now they've all grown up, so actually the audience now is probably like early 20s, mid 20s, and because we're quite successful in Liverpool, I think the actual crossover with Liverpool fans is actually quite high, to be fair. So it's a good thing.
Andy, I'll make you an offer now. I'm going to take away all your musical accomplishments, okay? But I'm going to give you Igor Biscan's Liverpool career. Do you take it?
100%. Absolutely, Igor. I mean, come on, he was a cult hero.
Yeah. What, okay, the same question, but not Igor Biscan. Sean Dundee.
Sean Dundee, I don't think I would. I mean... He was probably one of the worst players to ever grace a Liverpool shirt, so it probably wouldn't be good. However, he still played at Anfield in front of 50,000 people. But to be fair, my claim to fame is that I did score a goal at the Kop End.
Was it like a half-time penalty shootout?
But it was a penalty in front of the mascot, to be fair, so I don't really think it counts. But
did you send him the wrong way?
I actually had three pens and the mascot couldn't even really move. And the first one, I thought, right, I'm going to play this safe, and he hit it down the middle. And then the second pen, I thought, right, I'm going to hit this top bin, because I thought my mum, my dad, and my brother and everyone was watching, and I thought I'm going to hit this top bin, and I went to smash it in the top bin, and it went wide and over. So I was like, yeah, that was probably one of the worst moments of my life, to be fair.
Yeah, I can imagine being quite nerve wracking, even though you're playing against someone dressed as a cabbage or whatever. You know, I would have thought actually, although statistically it's right to go down the middle with penalties, you're more likely to score against an actual goalkeeper against a giant kumquat, probably better off putting it in the corner, really, because they can't move.
No, well, that was my aim, mate. My aim was to smash it in the corner, but I was so nervous that it just sort of trickled down the middle. And because he was trying to be nice to me and didn't want to embarrass me in front of 50,000 people, the mascot just sort of dived into the, like, the right-hand side, you know what I mean? And obviously I got a bit of a cheer in that, but still no one can take away from me that I scored in front of the cops, so I'll be telling my kids about that when it happens. So.
How do you feel about your season now? We haven't chatted to you for a while. There was obviously huge love for Klopp because he's such a sort of warm and engaging guy. A little bit, yeah. And then it sort of went on a little, sort of after the Spurs win, just a little bit of a lull, and people were starting to question. You know, it, obviously it gets sensationalised. You're either brilliant or absolutely hopeless, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. But where do you feel about his achievements this season?
I mean, I absolutely love Klopp, and I think he's an amazing manager, and he's definitely the right man for the job. I don't think you can question that. But I think a lot of Liverpool fans are quite. I mean, it's quite difficult to read some comments sometimes because it is like, come on, I mean, 2 months ago you were saying this man was the saviour and now you're saying Klopp out and stuff. So I do think it's a bit silly, but I can see sometimes why some people might get a little bit frustrated. Like maybe some of the substitutions could be made a little bit earlier.
And what about transfer? What about sort of transfer? He has had three windows and, you know, there was a game against Leicester, wasn't it, where, you know, you're playing Lucas at centre-back and you're like, you know, you don't have a recognised left-back and you sort of think at that... with the money he's got to spend, which is not as much as say, Chelsea or United, but still, you know, could have invested slightly better?
Possibly, but at the end of the day, if Lucas is playing centre-back, there's got to be a good reason for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's watching these guys in training every single day, and he's got Clavan there, and he's loaned Sakho out or whatever, but he must think that Lucas is a better centre-half than Clavan, or he must think he's a better... Because otherwise he'd play Clavan, do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes you have to sort of get behind the manager and think he's obviously... You know, Milner's been great at left-back. And you know what? I think a lot of it is to do with the owners as well. Like, if you go on Twitter, some of the fans, what they're saying, like John Henry's wife and stuff, when she tweets, it's like abuse. They'll just like, get out our club and stuff like that. And a lot of them are starting to lose patience with FSG because they feel like they're not throwing 50, 60 million at a player and stuff. And that just doesn't seem to be their method, you know what I mean? Mm. And also Klopp, I don't think he really wants to spend 50, 60 million on a player. I think he would much prefer to spend 15, 20, 25 million and try and develop them, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, there's been certain signings that have been good. I think, you know, I think when Alden's had a good season, I don't think he's had an amazing season. I think he's had a good, steady season and he'll get better. But I do agree. I think in this summer, we're going to have to see some big signings. Otherwise, Chelsea and, you know, even City and United are going to leave us. So I think you will see some major signings this summer.
Give us a score prediction for the game. Burnley, hopeless away record.
It's such a tough one, mate, because if we were playing Tottenham or United, I'd be like probably 2-0 win Liverpool. But I'm going to say 2-1. I've gone for a 2-1 on my TalkSport predictor, you know, the predictor thing you do on TalkSport with your friends and that. I've gone for a 2-1 Liverpool on there, so I'll stick with that, I think.
Top man, thank you for your time, Andy. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Andy.
Andy Brown, Lawson frontman and Liverpool correspondent for this show. They were the best bits of our show. We can't do any better than that. We try, we give it as much effort as it deserves, which is some, but not a lot. And if you really hate it, I'm amazed you're still listening to this bit. It's right at the end of the podcast. See you next week.
Bye.